Last week on the show, I talked to Marnie Katzman about her experiences with addiction and homelessness and the sort of recursive loop she was on that just kept going, but addiction, homeless through the shelter system. And she did find permanent housing and at the same time joined the Homelessness and Lived Experience Advisory Committee at the region, which is a huge part of her recovery. And she's taking her lived experience as well as other men and women who have experienced homelessness, youth, seniors, and people who work within the mental health and housing field. And Marnie's on the show today to talk about the recommendations from the advisory committee and how we can continue to move forward in helping people who are challenged by substance abuse and homelessness. Hi, Marnie. Thanks for coming back on the show this week. Last week, we talked about your addiction to alcohol and how that led to homelessness for you, and then this sort of horrible loop of homelessness in the shelter system and back to homelessness. But now you're on a very positive path, both personally, but in part that's due to the regional committee, the Homelessness and Lived Experience Advisory Committee. That started to meet in the fall. So, can you tell me how that came about and just a bit about the committee and who's on the committee and what the work is that you're doing?
Sure. I went to my first meeting at the region in November or December of 2019. So I had just in housing, and they wanted clients to in the program to get involved, and we wanted to get involved. And then COVID hit, and there was virtual. They carried on with the virtual, but 2020 and 2021, I was dealing with some the violence and all that, so I was sort of absent for a little bit, and then we continued at Southridge monthly meetings, and there are a handful of us who have been there from day one, and then there are people that come in and out, and we but we gain so much information and insight, whether a person comes every week or we only see them once. And it's very exciting work. I think the 10 recommendations we put together is something that we're all very proud of, but it's being heard.
I think that that's well, the participants on the committee are it's pretty broad. It's men and women, it's people with addiction, it's people with homelessness, it's seniors, there's peer support people, and of course, regional staff. And it must be, very uplifting that the region is looking at bringing people with lived experience. And I think that certainly in the we're seeing more recognition that you need people who have lived it to talk
Absolutely.
about it and to then work towards these recommendations. So has it helped you? Because I know you still go through a lot of ups and downs, but has this helped you with your mental health, which of course was greatly affected by your experiences with homelessness? Has this helped you with your mental health and maybe given you back a little bit of self-worth that you lost?
It is my it is a huge piece of my self-worth and how I value myself today. I mean, it's a combo pack of all my experiences, but to realize that it is so valued by the region, I took the Peer Works course, and it was a gift from the region, so that was a huge deal. I'm not a very scholastic girl, and I didn't have a lot of any confidence. I didn't have a shred of confidence in anything I did, and that was all me. But I realized, it helped me realize where everybody shines in some way in that group. Everybody has, their gift, and it's a beautiful thing when you sit in at a table with city councilors and the mayor and all the people, and not only do they know what's going on, they're so passionate about it because it's a beautiful region, and it is really exciting to see it all come together and to see the term lived experts all over the news now, in all over the country. It's like a movement, because it's all about talking.
Well, and we've talked for a number of years. Once there was sort of an understanding, well, I'm gonna go through the recommendations and talk to you about them individually. But once there was an understanding that you can't solve the situation, the homelessness situation, if you don't actually understand what it's like, and there's a whole lot of dignity that people are showing towards people like you who have experienced homelessness to say, you know what, you're important, and what you have to say is important to the solution, instead of a solution sort of being forced on you. So from up to down, the solution is actually coming from the experiences that are being what a radical thought.
Well, I like to say, it wasn't for this, all my stuff, it wasn't for nothing. Like, okay, I have a purpose, and I actually am good at something, and I am definitely passionate about so many things going on in the region and what this advisory committee is doing. And to see people with, down, like they're seeing what's going on. And we're very lucky. I wish that for every region, but it's something I've never seen before.
Yeah, and actually, before we start to talk about the recommendations, it's I think really kind of a badge of honor for you on the committee that other communities are now asking you to come and talk. So you have a presentation scheduled for London and another one for Toronto, and I think it's just exceptional that your committee has put together such a key series of recommendations and steps that can be taken by the community and by government, but there has to be community involvement. That other I mean Toronto's asking you to go. I mean, that must be pretty special.
It's the OMSSA conference, OMSSA. It's a 2-day conference, and I'm really excited about it because, again, we're making change. Change. It's not like a show where you're just talking and people are, oh yay, no, this is important, and it is an epidemic everywhere. So to hear that people at Queen's Park are chattering about what's going on in Niagara, that's pretty cool.
So the committee came out with 10 recommendations, and one of the things that is sort of prevalent and a thread that goes through all of them is the idea of safety. So in starting with number one is the need for safe and affordable housing for everyone, and including people who are homeless. And I think we're all pretty aware of the need for affordable housing, and but there's attainable housing. And I think attainable housing is what we need to focus on to help people who are living rough find a home. And I know that you went through transitional just sort of transitional living situations with apartments, and then moving into the permanent place that you are now. And so I'm going to just go directly to the Riordan 24-hour shelter that's opened on, well, obviously on Riordan Street, where they got housing modules from the oil fields in Alberta that the oil rig workers lived in. And this has provided 24-hour security. Each person has their own room. They can lock their door. They can bring their own things in. And what I've seen is, A, it's full, but there's not this sense of, oh, people are just hanging out on the street,
Right.
right?
They're doing something.
So there's the safety and dignity. And is this something that you think is an idea? Is this something maybe you might talk about when you're looking at solutions? Is this sort of,
Oh
I know
yeah.
it's temporary, but is this a good step towards a solution?
It is the best step, and it is working so well. It is, again, staff. All there 24 hours a day. Hey, if it works, I heard the mayor say on the news the other day, what she asked, what would you tell Burlington and Hamilton? Start yesterday. 'Cause it's working. You can't just stuff it under the carpet. These are human beings,
Yeah, and
right?
it goes to safety. And then,
Yes.
it's safety and respect, that sort of thread that goes through it. And
Nothing has been.
the shelter is not a permanent place. It's a step to a permanent shelter, which the city and the region are, and this one is in particular is in St. Catharines, but I sense that that's probably going to move across, spread across communities. But
Hope so.
the next recommendation is that we need to have spaces that are not only safe, but that support people, and in the hopes that there would be less discrimination and stigma. So how do you envision those places to work?
A lot of ideas were tossed around that I didn't have a lot of my own personal input on this particular thing, but what I will say is peer support. We need to have peer support happening in our shelters and in our all the shelters, Jillian's place. If somebody had sat me down and said, I've been where you've been when I was going through it and had a hand to hold, that would have been so valuable and probably would have taken, 3 years of my life would have been totally different. So I think meaningful activities, but for me, it's peer support. And I know that's a different rep, like a different number on our list, but that's how I what I envision when I think of that. People, they need to be not feel like they're loitering is what goes in hand with the stigma part.
And again, that's part of having a place where it's a 24-hour shelter. I mean, it used to be the shelter started at 7, you got kicked out at 7 a.m. But
And you
again,
have to
there,
take all your belongings with you when you all wander around all day. And what happens when that happens? People are wandering around aimlessly. You're going to get in
part
trouble.
of that is, and then people don't go to a shelter because they're afraid, because they're physically afraid, because we know that there are abuses that happen in violence that can
Oh, a
happen in
lot.
shelters, but as well, they've got their stuff, right? It's everything they own. So there's that worry. But the other thing too, when we talk about daytime, is that there needs to be not just a place that's safe, but a place where people can engage in activities that we all take for granted. It can being involved in sports, maybe having a reading group, book, a book club. And how important do you see that? I mean, is that something that we absolutely need to have, and we need it now? Because not everything is achievable now, but something like that
Well,
is.
I think that one is something that I haven't been in shelter for a long time. So I can't speak to what kind of programs they have. There were programs, but everything was optional, and nobody really. I know that it's different now, but there was always people from the region. The housing piece was always there, but we did actually at one point. A girlfriend of mine, and I, she likes to craft, so we got a whole bunch of crafts together. We went and bought a whole bunch of stuff at the dollar store, and we started and sat in the boardroom, and a lot of people joined us because you have to be doing something. You can't to sit all around all day and smoke cigarettes and drink coffee and knit. Knitting was something I picked up as well.
Yeah, a
Not
lot of
very good.
people knit and find it very therapeutic. But it's interesting you say that because I know that when COVID first hit, one of the first things that Quest Community Health Center did, and it's mentioned as well as the REACH program, and Quest provides health and mental health services and some dental to people who are unable to find medical care elsewhere, but they also have programs. So one of the things they did right away is they did an online craft meeting. And people would come and somebody would come who was a knitter. And everybody was, had knitting materials, and that person would teach knitting or crochet or maybe some drawing. And it was super, super popular because I think it's what you're saying was it was teaching a skill. It's lit, crafting is a skill, and it was something that they
Absolutely.
could continue to do on their own. And it was really super popular, people, because in COVID, and I know that you had a great deal of trouble with this, as everybody did, but I think when you're homeless and you have no family, or you're living in transitional housing and you don't have a lot of people, COVID was exponentially harder
It was
for you, as it was
brutal.
for anybody
Yes, it was for
who was locked
everybody.
in a house, by themselves.
Well, it would have been better if I had been by myself at that point, but
Right,
I
point
started off by
taken.
myself. And
We did talk about that last week, and it's,
that's yeah. So my hobby was staying alive at that point. I didn't really have an, and it's unfortunate that I did do a lot of cooking, but yeah, the COVID piece was wow. But I'm also was very grateful that I left shelter system just before COVID hit, because I couldn't imagine having how would that all work, and how do you social distance when there's 25 wet? I'm so grateful.
Right. The other thing is that if you sort of add a more complex situation to the homelessness, are groups who are marginalized, discriminated against, and subject to more violence. So women, for example, where intimate partner violence is a huge societal problem, or people from the 2S LGBTQ plus community. And that is one of the things that was is part of the recommendation. And it's supplying specific victim services to those groups.
Yes.
So,
Victim services is an amazing thing. But I again, COVID, I never saw a face. I only had on the phone. And I didn't ha know how to Zoom and all that stuff yet. I had never done that before. So, yes, COVID made it very difficult for everyone on every level, and it was scary.
yeah, so the in this it goes back to, so I'm sort of going through in order through the recommendations. So number seven is that there are disruptive people who ruin everything for everybody else, because of course people who are disruptive are the people who stand out.
It's the stereotype. And that's really unfortunate. But I think in retrospect, any group of people, there's good eggs and there's bad eggs. Like they
Yeah.
really, and it is unfortunate, and that's why I'll circle back to education and talking. If you educate people about it, then they know. When we want to learn about something, we Google it.
Yeah, you can't take the 10 people or the 7 people or in smaller communities, maybe the 3 people who are outside during the day. And again, they don't have a place to go often during the day because if they're no home, not housed at all, or they're in the shelter system where they are only shelters are running 7 at night to 7 in the morning, and that's not a hey, we don't want to help kind of a deal, because those shelters are run by in Niagara, by the Niagara region, and it's not that they don't want to provide shelters for 24 hours, which they're now doing at Riordan, but it's the funding isn't there for it. And I think that that's part of education for the public and public support, because we know
100%.
that if you don't have the public behind you, the money doesn't happen.
And we have a wonderful community. Again, not every group has good eggs and bad or whatever, but there are a lot of people who really do understand and have a lot of compassion for our homeless community because they are ours. They are part of us, and they're human beings. It's nice to see the stigma lessening. I see that happening here. I don't know what's
Yeah.
going on in the other community, but to be part of this metamorphosis that is happening, and to see Riordan go up, and it is a gift. We're going to do great things in Niagara.
So we've had a lot of better public support and attention on people with mental health specifically, but mental health and substance use challenges. And I'm hoping that that is part of, if that continues to grow, that that will roll over into understanding why people might be living rough and might be unable to. I mean, in some cases, a person has been living rough for so long, they can't just go into an apartment.
No.
So we have to understand that and sometimes it's baby steps, and having
No,
a peer
and that's
support
exactly
person
it.
helping you go through those steps is
It
really
doesn't happen
important.
overnight. You didn't become homeless overnight, and you don't become unhomeless overnight, for lack of a better term. It is a process. And I think it's really, really important to be really bubble wrapping people for a couple of years, at least. I still, 4 years later, and I am still reaching out for help and having some struggles with my emotions. But today I have the tools, and I have a wonderful support system, and I'm very lucky. But I think people need to be enticed, and this Riordan thing is what I call enticement. Wow, we could be, and they will come. Build it, and they will come.
We talked last week about anybody can become homeless and anybody can end up with a substance use problem, but what's being provided, and it just is through every one of the 10 recommendations, is safety. I'm so happy for you that not only were you able to find your way back and out of the situation, but that you're able to take that experience and take it outside of Niagara and into other communities who really need help. So thank you for the work you do.
Thank you very much for having me and for recognizing that. The work is great. I'm so excited.